Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening this evening, just as we do every Sunday evening at 8:05 Central. We mentioned last week that we were going to have a debate on July the 30th. That was yesterday evening at 6 o'clock. It was in Mississippi, which is about a four-hour drive for me. I won't mention, if I can help it, the guy's full name, but his name first name was Daryl. I thought tonight we would talk about some of the things that happened in the debate. Some of the things that Daryl said. Last week, you pretty much heard my affirmative, talking about 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. The debate, of course, was on women preachers, and those two verses very clearly and conclusively prove that it is not scriptural for women to preach in the church from the pulpit. But this preacher, who actually is the preacher for two or three different congregations, he was willing, he had enough courage, he believes in women preachers, and he had enough courage to defend what he believes. Let's begin again by looking at 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. That passage seems pretty simple to me, but evidently people just don't get it. The Bible says there, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Let me reiterate three of the phrases in those two verses to make my point. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches." Is that hard to understand? I don't think so. "It is not permitted unto them to speak." That's not hard to understand. "It is a shame for women to speak in the church." That's very clear. It's not like the passages against women preachers are vague, kind of hard to understand. No, they're very, very easy to understand. That's not the problem. The problem, and I mentioned this in the debate, is that people want to do things their way instead of God's way. But passages like Proverbs 14:12 teach there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So having women preachers allowing that may seem right to men, but the end thereof are the ways of death, spiritual death, because the Bible teaches against it. I said we might talk tonight about some of the things that the other preacher said, that Daryl said. Well, one of the things that he said in response to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 was he noted that in two or three texts like Acts 2, verse 17, we see where women prophesied. And of course, women did prophesy. We see it not only there, but in Acts 21, verse 9, we see that the older women were to teach the younger women in Titus chapter 2. We have no problem with that. That's not the issue. We're not against women teaching the Bible to, say, other women or children. But 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 says, "When the whole church is come together into one place," that's how it reads in verse 23, that sets the context for us, "it's a shame for women to speak in that context." I illustrated it this way in the debate. When I was growing up, my dad told me I could not talk in church. I knew what he meant. As a matter of fact, and I'm not making this up, one time I was talking in church and I ended up getting a spanking for it. I was not to talk in church. In church. That's the key phrase there. There was nothing wrong with me talking, say, during play period at school. I could do that. But in church, I was not to talk. And one time he caught me talking in church, I got a spanking for it. Now, move over to the parallel. When we see passages that say that women prophesied, it doesn't say they prophesied in the church. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 says they're not to speak in the church. Now, when we see things like this, the way we learn from the Bible is we reconcile these things. One says not to speak. One says it's okay to teach. But the one that says they're not to speak is don't speak in the church. Therefore, we understand if the Bible doesn't contradict itself, and it doesn't because it was all written by God, if the Bible doesn't contradict itself, then the passage that talks about the women prophesying must be saying they did it outside the church. Because if that verse is saying they prophesied in the church, that would contradict the passage that says they're not to speak in the church. That seems pretty simple to me. It's just as simple as my dad telling me not to talk in church. I knew exactly what he meant. in church, I was forbidden from talking, but as I said, it didn't mean I could not talk in play period during school. Women are not to speak when the whole church has come together in one place. They may teach the Bible. It is a good thing for them to teach the Bible in other environments. Like, for example, if my wife were to have a ladies' Bible class over at the house, and she might lead or teach that class. That's not only allowed, it's encouraged. She may teach the women. Even at the church building in a Sunday school class where the whole church is not all together, come into one place, that's good too. She's teaching children in the class. It's not the church assembly. That's fine. You see, if you just look at all the Bible has to say on a topic, there are no contradictions. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to believe this and ignore this. We shouldn't do that on any topic. Instead, we should believe all the Bible has to say on any topic. You know, that brings us to the other passage I mentioned last week and that I brought up in the debate that would forbid women from preaching in the church. And it does more than that. It talks about places, talking about places other than the church. 1 Timothy 2 verses 11 and 12 says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And so, the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Like I said, if she has a Bible study with women or children, she may lead that class. But she can't lead that Bible class, that Bible study, if there are men in it. Because if she did, she would be putting herself into a leadership position over those men. She would be teaching over those men. That's what would happen in the assembly. If she were preaching from the pulpit, she would be teaching over the men in that church assembly. That's why I say both of these passages condemn this practice that's so prevalent in churches today, the practice of women preaching from the pulpit. It wasn't so prevalent if you go back 100 years ago, but things have changed mightily. But the Bible has not changed. It says the same thing it did 100 years ago. It says the same thing it did 1900 years ago. Women are to keep silence in the churches. If you have a Bible question or a comment on this Bible topic or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755 and you can go right on the air. You know, another argument that Daryl, the other preacher, brought up in this debate we had last night was from Galatians 3. Let's read over at Galatians 3, verse 28. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you all one in Christ Jesus." So his argument was that since the Bible says there is neither male nor female, but we're one in Christ Jesus, that means that the females can also preach from the pulpit. But that won't work. My opponent knew that wouldn't work, and I'll tell you how I know that. First of all, what this passage is saying is that all peoples, no matter what race, social standing, what gender, they're all equal in Christ. Just because you're a woman doesn't make you a second-class citizen in God's kingdom. That's what it's saying. But it doesn't mean that we don't have different roles. And so I asked my opponent in the debate, Daryl, I said, "Daryl, do you agree with Ephesians 5 that you, the husband, are the head of the family, the head of the house?" Ephesians 5, verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." He said, yes, he completely agreed with that. And it's actually later on, his wife spoke up and said, yes, definitely, he's the head. You see, Daryl understood that when it came to the home, he was the head. He was the head of his wife. He was the head of the family. They have different roles. But that didn't violate what Galatians 3:28 says. When it says, when Galatians 3:28 says, "There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ." There's no contradiction there, and he understood that. But he acted like Galatians 3:28 meant that a woman could preach, that every Christian, whether no matter what gender they are, they have the same role. But when it came to the home, that passage didn't mean that everybody had the same role. You see, so the solution is, the way all of these passages are right is that we're all equal in Christ. There's no first-class citizens and second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. But that doesn't mean we don't have different roles. The woman's role is to guide the house and be in subjection to her husband. The husband role is to be the head over the wife and the family. That's not a contradiction. There's not a contradiction between that and Galatians 3:28. And so the same thing with women preachers. We're not saying the man is a first-class citizen and the woman is a second-class citizen in the kingdom. What we're saying is that they have different roles. Just like my opponent could see that they have different roles in the home and it not contradict Galatians 3:28, then he ought to have been able to see that they have different roles in the church. The women are not to preach in the church, and that also not contradict Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28 is not talking about saying that everybody has the same role. It's saying that we're all can be Christians and we're all equal as far as being Christians. It doesn't mean we all have the same role. Other passages teach that women are not to speak in the church, that they're not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. In other words, they have a different role. The Bible, all of it is right. We can't just say, I believe in Galatians 3:28, and therefore I throw out 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. No, they're both right. We need to teach that both of them are right. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. You know, another argument that Daryl, the other preacher, made, another argument that he made that is very commonly made in this debate about whether or not women can preach from the pulpit, is he says that Paul, when he said that in 1 Corinthians 14, was only dealing with a local church problem, and therefore it didn't apply to us today. But can that be backed up by Scripture, that he was only dealing with a local church problem? Or is that something that Daryl just kind of made up in order to grasp at straws to hold on to his position? What does the context of 1 Corinthians 14 teach us about whether or not Paul is only dealing with only a local church problem, or did what he say apply to everybody back then and everybody today? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, I think that sets the context for chapter 14, because 1 Corinthians 1, 2 tells us who the book was written to. Many assume too quickly that the book was only written to the church of God at Corinth, since that's the name of the book, but let me read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, there it is so far, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. I think that would be everybody, wouldn't it? Everybody who's a Christian. Called to be saints, that's everybody who's a Christian, with all that in every place, not just Corinth, but all that are in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You see, the book was not just written to the church at Corinth, it was written to all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. That gets every Christian then and now. So what Paul wrote in chapter 14, 34, and 35 about women being silenced in the church wasn't just written to the church at Corinth. It was written to every Christian then and every Christian today. That's what 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 is teaching us. That's setting the context. People talk long and hard about how we ought to take verses in their context, but when you do that, they don't want to do that. They don't want to take passages in their context. The context of 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 is that it was written to all the Christians then and all Christians today. All that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Georgia from Colorado, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I don't even know where to start. You're taking this, thou shalt not open up thy mouth if thy are a woman, to a total extreme level, and the Bible doesn't even say that. I mean, you can go back, and even in the Old Testament, there's Deborah, there were prophetess, there were all sorts of women that were doing the God thing, and yet you tell them, oh, they should. You amaze me. You take a woman's heart and you twist it around, say, thou shalt not, and then you go on your merry way so that you can beat this guy at a discussion called Daryl. I'm glad he's not here to defend himself. I don't know how you people do it. I mean, I was raised Lutheran. I understand that thou shalt be a woman and sit down and be defiant.
Georgia, I'm gonna let you go. We don't have a good connection, and so I'm gonna let her go and respond to a few of the things that she said. She asked, basically, how could I do that? Well, I don't see how you cannot teach that it's wrong for women to preach from the pulpit when the Bible says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. It's a shame for women to speak in the church." I don't see how you cannot teach that. We're either going to go by the Bible or we're not going to go by the Bible. And if we're going to go by the Bible, we're going to have to teach that it's a shame for women to speak in the church. The caller mentioned Deborah, but of course, she would recognize in other areas that Old Testament examples don't provide New Testament authority, else we'd have to do animal sacrifices and circumcision. She would recognize that fact that you can't find New Testament authority from Old Testament. By the way, Deborah did not lead in war. She only went with Barak. No verse said that Deborah was head over Israel. No verse says she spoke to the Old Testament assembly. Her job as a prophetess was, verse 4, was as a messenger to relay God's instructions to Barak. Verse 6. And others. She was not speaking in the Old Testament assembly, and she's not New Testament authority. That's Judges chapter 4. Mike from Des Moines, Iowa. Go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please.
Hi there. I have a lady in the congregation, and she stands up and speaks in tongues. And her husband, he interprets what she's saying, and I didn't think that anybody could interpret what anybody was saying in tongues. Is that true?
You didn't think anybody could interpret what another person was saying?
Right.
Well, in 1 Corinthians 14, it does talk about the interpretation of tongues. But to keep this back to what we're talking about tonight, if she's speaking in tongues, wouldn't she be violating the passage that says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak"? Wouldn't she be violating that passage, Mike?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, she's doing exactly what that passage clearly tells her not to do. Any follow-up, Mike, before I go to our next caller?
Can I have that passage from Timothy again that you gave
us
here?
1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Joy from Scottsboro, Alabama. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was wondering, is it wrong to listen to a woman preacher? Is it a sin to listen to a woman preach?
Well, that's a very good question, and maybe I'm not too settled on that. Let me, you know where the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says the man is the head over the woman. Those passages also would condemn what Hillary Clinton is trying to do, become the president of the United States. She's trying to take on a leadership role over men, and she has no right to do that. Let's say that she wins. I don't think I'm going to be in sin if I stay in the United States. She's going to be in sin because she's violating those passages, but I'm not violating those passages because I don't agree with what she's doing. But having said that, Joy, suppose you're part of a congregation, and that congregation decides to allow women to preach from the pulpit, and you know the Bible teaches against it, and you don't say anything about it. Doesn't 2 John verses 10 and 11, where it tells us if somebody does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that if we bid them Godspeed, we become a partaker in their evil deeds, wouldn't that say that eventually we would become a partaker in their evil deeds because we're bidding them Godspeed in what they're doing by just continuing to worship with a church that's not faithfully following God's word and never saying anything about it? You see my point, Joy?
Absolutely.
It would kind of be the same, and I'm dealing in the extreme here, is if a church decided all of a sudden, and a lot of churches are doing this, that they're going to accept gay marriage. If the church I'm with decided to do that, I'm going to try to get them to repent of that. And if they won't, I'm going to leave and find a church that's going to oppose homosexuality. You see what I'm saying, Joy?
Yes, I understand.
So I think we ought to do the same thing if we're part of a congregation that starts allowing women to preach from the pulpit. Try to get them to change back to the truth, and if they won't, find another church that will stand for the truth. We don't want to become a partaker in their evil deeds. Thank you for your call, Joy.
Thank you.
Ann from New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, how you doing? I'm just listening. I kind of just came in, so I haven't heard the whole thing, but I'm just very hard to wrap my brain around what I'm hearing about silencing women. I just can't even believe this in this day and age.
What does the Bible say? Ann, did you hear what the Bible said?
It was written how many thousands of years ago, and it's also, you know, it's a book of knowledge, and it's wonderful things in it, but to take that literally, do you really believe that Jesus feels that way? Because
yes.
I don't. I know women that have so many wonderful things to say. And
thank you for your call. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord endureth forever." The word of the Lord endureth forever. So the Bible, what it taught in the first century, the New Testament, it hasn't changed. And so when it taught that women were not to preach from the pulpit back then, it teaches the same thing today. You know, Paul was the one that wrote that. Of course, he was inspired of God in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. He says, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Two verses later, he says, the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So the Bible says that this prohibition against women preachers is a commandment of the Lord. Our last caller said, do you really think Jesus would want it that way? Of course I do. Paul said that this is a commandment of the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, that the things he was writing were actually in the words that the Holy Ghost picked out, not him. Let me read 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, where he said women should keep silence in the church, it wasn't just Paul. The Holy Ghost, according to this verse, the Holy Ghost actually gave him those words to say. This wasn't just a local problem that Paul was dealing with, meaning it didn't apply everywhere else or anywhere else. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, at the end of that verse, he says, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. This prohibition against women preachers was the same in every church then and every church today. We're going to try to take this call, but we only have a second. Jason from Albuquerque, go ahead with the question or comment, please, but be quick.
Okay, so I'm just curious on when God talks about using people as an instrument, and he chooses to use a woman as an instrument, as a soundboard, by what you're saying there in Corinthians, you're saying he's...
We're going to have to disconnect on Jason on two reasons. I can't really understand what he's saying. It was a bad connection, and we have to go off the air in about 30 seconds. We appreciate you listening tonight. Sorry we didn't get very far because we had a lot of calls, but that's okay. Perhaps if you didn't get on the air because there were so many callers, give us a call next week at this same time. We're from 8:05 Central to 8:30, where you can ask any Bible question you want. You know, the Bible is right. It's wrong for a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man. The woman is to be in silence. It's not permitted unto her to speak in the church. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. The Bible is right. We have to go by that. It's sin if we don't. Be sure and listen next week at this same time. BibleCrossfire@email.com is my email address.